Scripture this morning has a bit of a change to it. It's now Hebrews 5:11 to 6:3. And that's on page 922 in your Pew Bible. So Hebrews 5:11 to 6:3. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding.
Well, good morning, church. So this morning I've entitled my message, Elementary, My Dear Church. Of course, as an ode to Sherlock Holmes, and although he never said that in the original Arthur Conan Doyle books, he did say it in several of the movies, which I'm just linking it to Sherlock Holmes. But this morning I want to talk about these elementary principles that the author of Hebrews is talking about. Because the elementary things are not lesser than. They are vital. They are the foundation of what we believe. There's no denying it. See, in elementary, we learn things like simple addition, which then helps us later as we learn algebra, or calculus, or quantum mechanics. These things allow us to do things like space travel, which one day we're going to be on Mars. But in the meantime, right now, these are mathematics and science, and I love those things. You could easily equate the elementary things relating to English or history or music that you need to learn the basic principles before you can move on and learn more advanced things. It doesn't undercut the importance of these basic principles, that once you know how to do that, you can forget it and move on. Because if you forgot those things, you have to relearn them again before you can move on. And that's what the author of Hebrews here is telling us about our faith. That these fundamental things, repentance, prayer, judgment, faith in God, baptism, that these things are so core to what we believe as Christians. That if we have to keep relearning these things over and over, we're not moving on. We aren't teaching other people these things that we know. We're no longer talking about what God has done, and we're no longer framing our entire life, our entire mind, our whole heart around these basic things. Because if we truly believe what we say we believe about repentance or about faith in God or about prayer, then how will that influence and direct the course of our lives as we move forward? You don't need to understand deep theological principles in order to follow God or have a heart after him. But if you keep forgetting these core basics of our faith, it starts to beg the question of what do you want to know about God? Where do you want your life to head? Do we actually want to follow him if we're not willing to remember that we have repentance through Christ, that we can come to him and repent and receive complete forgiveness? Something like that missing from our mindset will lead us further and further down into guilt and shame and further away from the cross of our Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise master builder, and someone else is now building on it. But each one must be careful how he builds, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus." See, Paul is explaining to the Corinthians that the foundation that has been laid for them, for us now, is that of Jesus Christ. And if we try and build our house off of those foundations, it will collapse. It won't be structurally sound. I have a friend, and he first started coming to our Bible study years ago back in Edmonton because one of his friends had invited him. They had been pen pals through Junior Forest Wardens many years ago. And this fellow, he loves trees and loves nature, but he didn't know anything about God. But his pen pal Kaylee, well, every time they would write letters back and forth, she would talk about Jesus. And so you have these two junior high kids who are learning about trees and nature and how to protect our provincial parks. And she is just telling him about Jesus, about Jesus, about Jesus. And eventually they met years later. And Craig said, I need you to tell me more. And she said, great, come to church with me. Come to Bible study with me. I want you to experience what the church is all about. And so Craig started coming to our Bible study. Well, on Kaylee's side, she had just asked us to study the book of Revelation. So here we have Craig who's coming in, who knows nothing about God. And we're starting into a deep discussion on the book of Revelation. And it was very interesting. But it encouraged us to go back to the core things. Because within the book of Revelation, there is so much symbology, so much taken from the Old Testament, that for us to just say, it's Abraham. And he would say, who's Abraham? Oh, well, you know, and then later, it's the 12 tribes of Israel. What's that? Well, do you know the country of Israel? No. Okay. And then we just have to go back and back and back and keep teaching the basic things. But for us, as the others in the Bible study, most of whom had been Christians all of our lives, it was such an incredible refresher to go back and see this foundation that's been laid as we are then looking at these deeper and deeper things. But Craig, after a few weeks of this and him asking 20 or 30 questions every week, and we'd say, I know some of the answers, but we'll get back to you next week. He'd come the next week. We'd say, hey, here's what we found. And he said, great, here's more questions. After about 3 weeks of this, he gave his heart to the Lord. He wanted to follow Jesus with all that he was. He didn't know very much, but he knew that Jesus had saved him. He knew that God had paid the price and that he was now free and that now he was to live his life in honor and service of this God. Well, Craig, he had such a fire burning inside of him that everybody had to know. So he would be sitting at a bus stop in Edmonton waiting to take his bus down to Nate, where he was studying in university, and the person would sit down beside him, and he'd say, hey, do you know about Jesus? And they'd say, no. And he'd say, well, Jesus saved you. You know, he came, and he paid the price, and now you're free. And they say, wow, tell me more. I don't know anymore. But he just had this fire that everybody he met had to know. He had to let them know. He couldn't just hold it in. So it is so good for us to remind ourselves and be reminded of these basic things in our faith. We must all hear these and all be reminded of these things. Without these core tenets of our faith, the whole structure is compromised and is at risk of collapse. Like this building here, that the ground wasn't set below it, and it all sunk. The enemy often seems to pick away in our minds at things on the fringe first. Things like, oh, well, I don't like that worship style, or the pastor preaches for too long, or he's too dry, or he's not wearing the right shirt. And as these things get picked away at by the enemy, he starts to bring into question more of the fundamental things, more of these core foundational elementary things. Like, what if repentance and forgiveness doesn't actually work? What if God still holds all those things against me and I need to try and make it up to him somehow? Or what if he brings the idea that we don't even need repentance, that someone hears that God loves them and they think, well, God must then love me exactly how I am now and I don't need to change. And if God wants me to be happy, well, then I'm going to carry on living my life however I want. And that's a lie. That's not what love means. That's not what God wants for us. He wants the best for us. He wants to take us deep within his love and within his character so that we can rest firm in our Father's arms. I've seen so many people wander away from the faith because of these lies. They hear this tidbit, and part of it may even be true, but the rest is warped, and it can drag people away if the foundation isn't set solid. The next slide has a quote by a pastor, Greg Laurie. He says, Satan will always seek to drive you away from the cross, and God's Spirit will always draw you to it. I just thought that so captured this tug of war that's happening, as the enemy wants to pull us away from the cross of Christ, from these foundational core truths that we believe, whereas God's Spirit wants to bring us right back, wants to remind us of these things, wants to have these things set in our hearts and in our minds as we are transformed. This past week, I was talking with Chris Wood about the importance of keeping the main thing the main thing. The idea that when you take into account what are the core fundamental things in your life, and then you build your life around those, you figure out what's important now, and what are the main guiding principles that I need to follow. And for us as believers, we find those within Scripture, that the Spirit of God has revealed these things to us through the Word of God, and that we build our life around these things. We're not to build our house off in a different direction than the foundation was laid. Can you imagine that? You order a house to be built on this lot, and they come and they lay the foundation. And then the next group comes along and they start along the one foundation wall, all perfect and straight, getting the house lined up, and then they stick the house on the other side, off the foundation. It wouldn't work. It would all collapse like that previous building. That just nothing would hold up. It would all fall apart so quickly. And that's what happens when we don't line up our lives on the Word of God. Because through Christ, we have been given a foundation for our lives as believers. Now, if you've been here a while, you know that pretty well every time I preach, I talk about these core things. They make an appearance in every sermon because they are something that I want us to be reminded of. Not that we have to relearn them every single time, because hopefully as we hear these things, as we read them in Scripture, as we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus, that these things take root deep in our hearts and we are building our life around these things. It's so beneficial to hear them again and to be reminded of them once again, because it just helps click back, push away that darkness. Like in the Chronicles of Narnia, in the one book, there's the big ice wall that's then formed, and Aslan's on the other side, and they can't quite see him. But then once that wall is broken down, he's seen clearly. They know that they were pursuing Christ, but it didn't look right. There was something in the way, this interference. And that can so often happen in our lives that we lose track, we get off course. So the real problem that the author is addressing in the book of Hebrews is not that these core things, again, are unimportant or that somehow are lesser than. The real problem he's addressing is that when we need to continually relearn these things, never moving past them, never allowing them to become the basis of our understanding, if we continually find ourselves back at square one time and time again, it might be time for us to start to question our own motives. Because without the elementary principles of our faith shaping how we think and how we act, we are never building on the foundation that we have been given. It's as if we don't want to give up the tent, the shack that we're living in on the other side of town. But once a week, we walk over to the building site and we look at the foundation. And we just want to see what's there. We want to see this foundation. But we never build on it. We never build this home, and we go back to our tin shack, and we wait there and think, well, maybe one day. But nothing is going to magically appear on this building site. We need to commit our ways to Christ. We need to build our lives on the foundation that he has given us. He will help us through his Spirit, but we can trust that this foundation is solid, it is firm. We can trust completely what he has provided for us. Jesus told the parable about the wise man that built his house upon the rock and the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And of course, the rains came, and the rains came against both. It wasn't just that the wise man who built his house upon the rock, that it was in a different location and they didn't rain. No rain came there. But the man who built his house on the sand, that the rains came and then it fell down. But in the parable, the rains come against both. We need to understand that rains are going to come in this life. Difficulties and trials and tribulations will come. Our church has seen so many over the last year. But trusting that the man who built his house upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that house stood firm. That house lasted. That house persevered through the storm. So the questions we need to ask ourselves if we continually, as I said a minute ago, find ourselves back at square one over and over again, wondering, well, what is it I believe? What do I think? Maybe God doesn't forgive me. We need to ask ourselves, why? Why do we need to keep relearning these things? As believers, as mature believers, we ought to have patience with those who are relearning these things. We ought to have love and grace and compassion for them, understanding that we ourselves didn't know. And we ourselves still ask these questions from time to time. But it's about walking side by side, walking hand in hand, as together we build this church. But the questions I want to pose today are questions maybe you have to ask yourselves. Wondering, why do we not want to go deeper? Why do we not want to set this house on its foundation? What's holding us back? Do we want to just believe what we want to believe, ignoring inconvenient truths that we might find in Scripture? Are we afraid of giving our whole lives over to God, asking him to direct and lead us? It's scary. I'll be the first to admit that. It's the sense of fear wells up when you think, I don't know what God's going to do if I offer him my whole life. But it's worth it. This morning, I was thinking that 7 years ago right now, I was training to be an air traffic controller. I was working with NAV Canada at the International Airport, and I had no idea that 9 months later, through a series of circumstances, that God was going to call me into ministry. And that 7 years later, I would now have been 2 years pastoring at this church. I had never wanted to be a pastor. I had other dreams, other goals, even if they included God and were good things. But God knew where he wanted me. He knew where Stephanie and I were supposed to end up. And he led and directed us here because we gave everything over to him. And it was scary. You can ask her about the many hours in prayer and the many tears we shed as we were seeking out what God wanted for us. But the rock-solid faith that he then gave us to carry us through that. We were able to stand firm, not swept away with the tide. This all brings me back to Sherlock Holmes and his phrase, "Elementary, my dear Watson." So after solving a seemingly unsolvable crime, Sherlock has often said, "Elementary," or "Elementary, my dear Watson," letting him know that it was simple. How could you not get it? How could you not see what was going on? And he proceeds to point out very simple things that he saw that led him to his conclusions. Could have been footprints or something in the newspaper, a note that he found, maybe some ashes on the ground somewhere. And these simple clues he then pieces together to form his overarching conclusions, which then lead to the guilt or innocence of whatever's happened in the case that he's trying to solve. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, in our lives, we ought to do the same. We ought to look at these simple things that we've been given through the scriptures, these elementary principles, as the author of Hebrews says, repentance, faith, baptism, prayer, resurrection, and the coming judgment, and seeing how these core principles shape our lives. And in each life circumstance, being able to come back to these core principles, these elementary things, to reach the conclusions that we ought to reach the conclusions that we need to trust in God, to press deeper into what He has for us, to build our lives solely on the foundation that we have been given. Because as we reach each life circumstance and are faced with different options, different situations, different difficulties, different joys, that we can come back to the core things and say, how is God going to see us through this? It might not always look like how we want it to look. We have times where the Israelites, they were freed from captivity, the waters parted and they walked across dry land. And other times where the Assyrians or the Babylonians swept in from the north and took them all into captivity. But through both of those things, we see in Scripture that God was at work, that His heart was still for His people, and He was still wanting them to draw near to Him. The final question I have for you today is, what foundation are you building on? And I think that's where we need to let this rest today, is to see what foundation are we building on? Are we choosing to build on that which has been given, to see these elementary things and to cement them into our lives? Or are we just walking from point to point, wondering, you know, where I should stick a 2x4 next, and just scatterbrained all over the place with this thing, and nothing ever gets built because we keep coming back, and I wonder if I should change the foundation. I wonder if I should add something over there, maybe a spot for a hot tub. That sounds nice. But are we going to build on this foundation? The story that I've been reminded of throughout this week is about a group called the Holy 40, or the 40 Martyrs of Sebaste. They were a group of 40 soldiers from the Roman Legio Duodecima Fulminata, the Thunderbolt 12th Legion of the Roman military. And it was 40 members of this legion had become followers of Christ. And the emperor at the time, Licinius, he wanted them killed. And so on his order, they were taken out to a lake in the middle of winter, and they were all stripped, naked, and forced into the middle of the lake. And then the rest of the legion stood around them in a big circle, and they had hot baths of water waiting at the outside edge. And they said, you can stand there and die, or you can turn away from Christ and you can come have a warm bath and save your life. Well, for hours, these men, these 40, they stood out on the ice, shivering and shaking and huddled together and singing songs of praise to God. Eventually, one of them broke. He turned and, I can't do this anymore, and he went running across the ice to one of the warm baths that was set up. And as he got in, one of the other soldiers who was guarding these men, who was supposed to kill them if they tried to escape, the accounts say that he saw the glory of heaven open up on the 39 that were still standing there. The brilliance of God. And he knew in his heart that Jesus was Lord. So as this one had left the other 40 and gotten into the bath, this soldier on the outside started taking off his armor. And he walked out into the middle of the lake and completed the 40 that were out there. And as these 40 died that night in the cold, God's name was glorified. Believers ended up taking this story all over the Roman Empire. And dozens of churches were started as a result, because these 40 stood on the foundation of their Lord. They knew what they believed, and that not even death was going to shake that. So what foundation are we building on today? Because as Hebrews continues on, he says, I believe that you guys are going to see it through this. I believe that you guys are going to build on the right foundation, that you are going to run with perseverance the race marked out before you, that you're going to follow in the footsteps of these forefathers of faith, these people who went before, who showed such great faith, such great character, such great love for their Lord. The author says, I believe that you guys are going to carry this through to completion. So trust your God and follow after him. Amen.